CMS Church is moving forward. Say that one more time. Love never fails. Now you're quoting the Bible. Hallelujah. You're singing along this little, but don't let it be said, Second Congregational can't get into this good stuff. God is good, amen. What a blessed day. Look at the weather outside and everybody here today. Let's have a great time. Mrs. Joanne, would you bring us into church?
Let freedom ring in our church this morning. 1865, the South was on the verge of complete collapse. The end of the Confederacy was certain. There was a contrast to the grim mood which had beckoned Lincoln's first inauguration. A happier spirit was evidenced among the thousands who journeyed to Washington for the official beginning of his second term. Hallelujah. There was a gray and overcast sky when the president rose to speak. Oh, let me go one verse, sorry. The state of the day, the bloody battle of Gettysburg, which had marked the end of the Confederates' hope in the Civil War, had taken place July 1-3, 1863. So many men had fallen in the three-day fight that it was dedicated. It was decided to establish a special cemetery there and to hold a formal dedication on October 23rd, 1863. The commission set up this purpose was most eager to secure Edward Everett, former president of Harvard, former secretary of state, as a principal orator. Wanting more time to prepare his speech, Everett suggested November 19th instead, and the commission accepted the change. Formal invitations were sent out to all the nation's dignitaries, asking them to attend. One of them, inviting, of course, went to President Lincoln. To the surprise, perhaps even shock, of the commission, the president agreed to be present. Since protocol demanded that he was asked to say something, he was sent a curious invitation with rather subtly hinted that, one, he speak briefly, and two, he keep his talk serious. Opening the ceremony, Everett spoke for 2 hours, using not a single note. When he was through, the president was announced, and in very few minutes read his speech in a high-pitched, sharp, unpleasant voice characterized by strong traces of a southern accent. Everyone present seemed unaware that he had finished, so brief was the speech. Lincoln was highly dissatisfied with the address, calling it a flat failure. Everett told Secretary of State Stewart, he had made a failure, and I am sorry for it. Although the next day he wrote a very complimentary letter to the president. The newspaper more or less followed political lines in their comments. Some referred to it as the silly remarks of a president and the silly, flat, and dishwatery utterances, while others called the speech a perfect gem and a perfect thing in every respect. The verdict of time, it goes without saying, has been that the latter comments were the more accurate, since the Gettysburg Address is unquestionably the best known American speech, and there's nothing written about the 2 hours of the previous man who spoke. 47 years ago, our father brought forth to this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are men on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that land as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men living and dead who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people should not perish from the earth. As we celebrate, as we remember Memorial Day, let's remember there were people who gave the ultimate sacrifice so we could stand here singing, "Put Love in Your Heart," and Dave, and dance like David, and we can preach the word of God freely in this country. So many blessings that we have from God were passed because of those people who stood on that ground and gave the ultimate sacrifice so we could be here today, as we honor the memory of what they did for us, what they did for this country, that they loved their country more than they loved themselves, and they gave that sacrifice so we could be a free nation. Let us take some time today to remember that as we enjoy this beautiful day that God has blessed us with, and the Memorial Day that we celebrate here in the United States of America. Let's pray together. Lord, help us to see the greatness. Help us to remember the greatness. And help us to be humble as we enjoy this day. Help us to love one another as we enjoy each day. Help us, Lord, to lift each other up as we enjoy this day, and remain focused on you and you alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Hear my prayer, Lord. church. Now, if I can ask you all to stand. Everybody stand up with us this morning and pray with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Give him praise, church, on this day of days. Responsive reading, Psalm 146. Hallelujah. Let him hear you on the streets this morning. Let the Spirit of God rise up that you're so bold that you don't even know it's you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in son of man, in whom there is no help.
Despair departs, he returns to the earth. And that every day plans to
perish. Happy is he who has God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord of his God.
Who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them, who keeps truth forever.
Who execute justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord gives freedom to the prisoners.
The Lord shall forever, and God of Zion all generations.
Praise the Lord. To how many generations? And who's these promises for? Us. Hallelujah. Give your God praise this morning, church. Give him praise for everything you have in your life. Every good thing in your life, give him praise and thank him for that. We have an awesome God who loves us. Who loves us. Imagine that. God, who doesn't need to love us, loves us. I think that's a great way to start today. Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to read a little bit from Exodus. It so it was on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. Listen to this. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws." Whose laws? God's laws. So Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourself out. Hallelujah. For this thing is too much for you, and you are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice, and I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth." Men of what? Truth. "Hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten. And let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace." Then so Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law, did all that he had said, and Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over people, rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds and over fifties, and rulers of tens. So they judged the people at all times. The hard cases they brought to Moses, but they judged every small case themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way to his own land. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So it starts. Moses was the first judge. As you read the Bible, you're going to come across a book in the early part of the Bible, the book of Judges. Somebody's paying attention. It's a very interesting book, this book of Judges, that we're going to look at. We're going to actually pass right over it, but it's very interesting. because it talks about judges over the Israel nation. So people would have problems and they would come to these judges. They weren't kings. They, you know, the Bible said rulers, but they were just overseers. Amen. People would come to these judges to get these different disagreements worked out. And when you read the book of Judges, you'll understand that judges were from each tribe. How many tribes in Israel? 12. And they all had their own judges. And they had judges in different areas. So the people who were judging, this is great, right? The people who were judging knew the people they were judging. Amen. They weren't judging strangers. They were judging people that they knew. So they had a better idea of what was right and wrong. Amen. You understand that? I think it was very important that they did that. They didn't just pick somebody from California to come here today to judge us. They picked people from our area. That's what he did. Come, people of Israel, to receive the people from their enemies and establish justice. Men chosen of God. Judges tells the story of Israel's historic and spiritual life in Canaan, which, by the way, Canaan is another word for Israel. The spiritual turmoil, the tribal divisions, Baal worship, temptation, and opposition. Now, we all know what Baal worship is, eh? People who are worshiping God. And these judges would do that. The enemies we face are real, mostly within ourselves. The battles we fight are not against other people, but against the power of sin. We need God's help. We need to turn to God, His grace, and forgiveness. Hallelujah. Moses appointed other judges. Now, in the book of Judges, as you go through it, you're going to find one, and you ready? Her name is Deborah. Praise God. A woman judge. Yep. She was a woman, and she was judge. You know why? It was because of her obedience to God. Her honesty, her courage, unwavering faith, and unquestionable obedience. She was always acting on the word of God to establish peace, harmony, repentance, loyalty to God, our God, and the Bible shows her to be equal to Samuel and Gideon, judges. Now, as you read the book of Judges, and I hope someday you do, you're going to find out that the people in Israel didn't always obey God. Really? They turned from God, and as they turned from God, things happened in their life that they weren't happy with. And what did they do? They had to repent. And every time, as you read the book of Judges, every time they repented and turned back to God, what did God do? God healed their land. Every single time they got on their knees and said, Lord, we need you now. Lord, we made a mess of it. Every single time, as you read the book of Judges, you go past Deborah and you go to the next judge. It's the same thing all over again. The Israelites pulling away from who? God. The Israelites pulling away from God's teaching, God's commandments. They started having itching ears. They started listening to other people. They started following their own ways. As a matter of fact, the last line in Judges, hallelujah, thank you, says exactly that. Thank you, Lord. That they followed their own ways. Thank you, Lord. It's just a wonderful, you start to think about God, say, how can he be so forgiving what he was? In these days, there were no kings in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's the last line of Judges. So as you read that and understand, even back then, these judges had to take care and had to pull people back to God. How many times have we seen things where people had to come back to God? How many times have we seen things in the world where it got real crazy and people had to come back to God? Remember, anybody remember 9/11? Remember what happened? What after that? Everybody came back to God. Everybody said, we need God, we need church. And then all of a sudden there's a falling away. When you read the book of Judges, that's all you're going to read. There's going to be a falling away. And then things are going to happen in their life, and they're going to turn back to God. But our God is so forgiving. And God is forgiving today as He was in that day. Let me say that again. Your God, my God, our God is so forgiving even today. We can pray to God. We can ask God for forgiveness. We can get on our knees and talk to God, and He will forgive. He will heal our land. He will do it today as He did it every day in the book of Judges. They had no king. They had no what? When did politics get into religion? Are you ready? Are y'all ready? When did politics get into religion? Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to start with 1 Samuel. I'm going to read 7:15. Let me read it to you. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. He went from year to year on a circuit to Bethel, Gilgal, Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. But he always returned to Ramah, for his home was there. There he judged Israel, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Hallelujah. The people were followed, these judges. Who are they talking about? God. Amen? God. Samuel was a judge, but who was he chosen by? God. He gave them the laws of who? God. He gave them God's laws to live their life. Understand that, okay? Are you with me? Now, Samuel 8, you want to see politics? Here it comes. Now, it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah, and they were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in the ways. They turned aside after dishonest gains. They took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Are you ready? Here it goes. Now make us a king to judge us like all the other nations." They weren't happy with Samuel's sons. They didn't want God to lead them. What did they want? A king. Like what? This is important. Like what? All the other nations. They didn't want to follow God any longer. They wanted to be like who? All the other nations. Now let me revert back to Deuteronomy. Y'all stay with me. Now listen to this. In the book of Deuteronomy. When the Lord your God cuts off before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself, are you ready, that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, that you do what? Inquire after their God, saying, "How did these nations serve their God? I will also do likewise." You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods, for they burnt even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, or take anything away. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 13. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, which he spoke to you, saying, "Let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them," you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. Should you listen to him?
No.
Right. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart. How much of your heart? And with all your soul. He's saying you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. But the prophet of that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who has brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the ways in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk, so you should put away evil from your midst. You shall put away the evil from your midst. Moses is telling us in Deuteronomy, people are going to come to you and they're going to say all these wonderful little things about their God, about another God, and say, oh, yeah, our God will let you do this. Oh, our God give you permission. Oh, don't worry about that. There's more than one God, but there's other ways. Jesus is wonderful, but he ain't the only way. There's, you just follow me. Follow what I'm telling you. You come along and you come in bondage of me. What does the Bible say? Zero, not. Amen? It says, do not follow them. It even says maybe sometimes God is testing our faith because he's a jealous God. And the fact that he said, I am your God, I am your Father, I am. He said that. What does it say in the Ten Commandments? You shall have no other. Hallelujah. No other. No other God. And it says, do not even inquire about other gods. Don't even get your ears itchy. Because all of a sudden you'll hear something and say, well, that kind of feels right. I kind of like that. That might work for me. No, it doesn't work for you at all. It puts you in bondage. You get into some religion where there's bondage, and all of a sudden you are separate from the people. Why would God give us this book and then want his people to separate? It wouldn't happen. Understand that. This book is from who? God. It's inspired by who? God. It's given to us to read and for all of us in the world to be together. So why would he give us this book and then have somebody's religion all of a sudden separate us? That's not God. That's not even from God. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? That's not God at all. I'm not talking bad about anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. If you get involved in something and it pulls you away from this church, or pulls you away from Jesus Christ, pulls you away from that, then it's not God. If it puts you in a bondage somewhere and they say, this is where you... I would never tell you, this is the only place you get. I would say to you, if you go to another church, praise God, I hope you get fed the word of God. I hope you get joy. I hope you get peace. Because as long as somebody's reading from this word, good things are happening. Amen? But I would say to you that we stay focused, that we are a family in Christ here, and we need each other. But this is the word of God. If you go somewhere else and say, hey, tell your friend, if you ask somebody someday, hey, come to our church on a Sunday, and they say, I can't, my church won't let me. Anybody ever heard that before? Amen. I talked to a man one day for a couple hours. He came visit me, and we started talking about Paul. Oh, we had the best conversation about Paul. This is the truth. This happened. And we were talking. And I knew what religion he was from because years ago I worked with a man for 2 years that was into really big into the religion. So I understood that. And we talked about Paul. We had the greatest talk about what he did. We talked about Peter, and it was wonderful. And he said to me, he said, why don't you come to my church sometime? I said, I'd love to. I'll come with you. I said, but if I come with you sometime, come to my church. Oh, no. I can't do that. What? I'm not allowed to do that. If they find out in my church that I went to your church, they're going to excommunicate me. I'll be disfellowshipped. I can't go there. I'm thinking, but we're reading God's word. We just talked about Paul and talked about Peter. What about that? Oh, no. That's not from God. We should be able to talk to Christians. We should, and believers, anywhere at any time about the goodness of God. Amen? Hallelujah. We should. So Deuteronomy is telling us that, and God is telling us that for a reason. But he loves us, and he wants one God. Do not have any other gods before me. Do not even inquire about those gods. But the children of Israel said to what? Said to Solomon. Hallelujah. We have, hallelujah, what did he say? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Make us a king to judge all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said this. I'm sure it did. Amen. Understand what Samuel, when they said this to Samuel, it displeased him when they said this. Give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to God. And then the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people in that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, Samuel, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them out of Egypt, even to this day, which with they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. Now therefore heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. Hello, politics. So Samuel told all the words to the Lord of the Lord. Lord to the people who asked him for a king, and he said, "This will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots to be his own horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties. They will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and some to make his weapons of war and equip them for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks and bakers. And he will take the best of your fields. He will take the best of your fields, your vineyards and your olive groves, and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. And he will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men, and your donkeys, and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and you will be his servants. And you will cry out in that day because of your king who you have chosen for yourself, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, "No, but we will have a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them to the hearing of the Lord. So the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed their voice and make them a king." And Samuel said to the men of Israel, "Every man go to his city." He warned them, didn't he? He told them, if you turn away from God and you turn to having somebody over you like a king, whatever word you want to use, he's going to take things from you. He's going to demand that you give him things. He's going to take of what yours, and he's going to use it for himself. He's going to make chariots for himself. He's going to bring people to serve him. He's going to make cooks to serve him. He's going to take from your livestock. He's going to take from your produce. For who? Him. Hallelujah. I'm going to go just a little long. Hang in with me. Now Samuel said to all Israel, "Indeed, I have heeded your voice, all that you said to me, and have made a king over you. And now here is the king walking before you, and I am old and gray-headed, and look, my sons are with you. I have walked before you from my childhood to this day. Here I am." And then he says this, listen, "Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose donkey have I taken? Of whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose hand have I received any bribe with which to blind my eyes? I will restore it to you." And they said, "You have not cheated us or oppressed us, nor have you taken anything from any man's hand." Then he said to them, "The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand." And they answered, "He is witness." Then they said to the people, "It is the Lord who raised up Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers from the land of Egypt. Now therefore, stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and your fathers. When Jacob had gone into Egypt, and your fathers cried out to the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, commander of the army of Hazor, into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. Then they cried out to the Lord and said, 'We have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and served the Baals of Ashur. And now deliver us from the hand of our enemies and we will serve you.' And the Lord sent Jerubbaal and Beden, Jephthah and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelt in safety. And when you saw that Nahash, king of the Ammonites, came against you, you said to me, 'No, but a king shall reign over us,' when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, here is the king who you have chosen and who you have desired. And take note, the Lord has set a king over you. If you fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both of you and the king will reign over you, will continue following the Lord your God. However, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is today not the wheat harvest? I will call to the Lord, and he will send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord, and asking a king for yourself. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain in that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. All the people said to Samuel, "Pray for your servants to the Lord your God, that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins the evil of asking a king for ourselves." Then Samuel said to the people, "Do not fear. You have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart." How much of your heart? "And do not turn aside, for then you will go away after empty things, which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord and ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. But if you shall still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king." Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Follow God, not man. We must remember all that God has done for us. God will be with us. He has always been with us. He will not forsake his people. We must be strong in faith. We must be strong in love and in compassion. God will move in our lives the good and the right way. Hallelujah. Because we have this book. We have the inspired word of God. We need nothing else. We have God's truth, God's word. We have God's love. We need to love him with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. You need to focus your love on God. When troubles come, you need to focus on God. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. Let him hold you up. When things happen in your life, you need to have that God. When good things happen in your life, you need to share it with others. You need to tell others about your blessings. You need to stand up and proclaim what God is doing. But we shall love God with all our heart and all our soul. We should look to God because he is our king. We need no one else to lead us. We need no other religion to lead us. We need no other prophet to lead us. We don't need anybody to tell us anything different but what is in this word of God, because this will keep us safe and this will keep us together. In Jesus' name I pray. Give him praise, church.
Since this is Memorial Day weekend, we're going to do something a little different today, and I want all of you to help me. We're going to sing the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And when we get to the chorus, I want everyone to sing it for all of our servicemen and women and police and firemen that have passed serving our country. Okay? My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage with the grapes of wrath for store. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth keeps marching on. The trumpets that will never call retreat.
He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. O be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet, while God keeps marching on.
Saw to write the words to the battle hymn of the Republic. So this is what, you know, we should focus on that, and that's what the story is. And the interesting part is she wrote a poem, and then afterwards it's Samuel Ward, I believe, that wrote the music for it. And, you know, she took that poem, by the way, and sold it later to the Atlantic Monthly for, I think, $100. Yeah, so, but a little interesting, a little history about it. And I know my the kids always love to hear a little bit of a story. And it's important to know, because every story, every song, rather, at least many of them, have some value, some story that we can relate to. And it's nice to remember. So that was what our plan was today.
And this was Joanne's idea for me to narrate it instead of sing it. She said, I never did anything like this, but I know you could do it.
I knew we could do that, but it would be nice.
Praise God.
Looking up in the church, just so y'all know.
Let him hear the Spirit leaving this church, and let's fill that church up with glory. Fill the city up with glory. I believe we can do that when we walk in the Spirit. That song was powerful, and the message was clear. clear along with the message today. We have God. We have our King. We don't need anybody else to tell us what to do. We have Jesus giving us guidance and giving us the love and giving us the words we need to follow. We need to be stronger following Him. We need to have that faith. We need to have that strength in our heart. We need to know that we know that God is with us. And when you do that, the little problems of the day just seem to fade away, because our King has answers for us. And when things happen, our King lifts us up higher than we could ever imagine. Hallelujah. Give Him praise in this church. That's our King. We don't need a man to be a king. We have God. And as we do this memorial, let us also do this one. As we remember what Jesus did for us on that cross, someday this memorial that we're doing will be a celebration when He returns. But for now, let's just do what God has asked us to do. In remembrance of what Jesus did on that cross, once for all, in Jesus' name. Enjoy God this morning, church. So many times we pull away from God without even realizing it. But when we stop and realize, God pulls us back in. So many times we said things or done things that were against God, but then He pulled us back in and saved us. That's the God of the Bible. That's His love, His forgiveness, and His compassion. If He has that for us, we need to have it for others. We need to keep bringing people back to God. We need to be drawing them, pulling them back. Sometimes pulling them back with everything that we have, returning them to God. That's our call. That's what Jesus would do for us. If we fell off a mountain today and went so far away, then we call out, He'd hear our voice and He'd pull us back. And He would love us. We need to do that for all our brothers and sisters. We need to call on them like we never thought possible with God. We need to pull them in. We need to bring them back in to the right here, to the family, to this house where they can be fed and we can be one together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Deacon. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Just pleading, just like God did. Just like Jesus did on that cross once for all. He did it for us. He did it for us, and He just asked that we do this in this house in remembrance of what He did for us, in Jesus' name. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. But sometimes our iniquities and our words and our attitudes, and because the Bible says we all fall short daily. I don't know. If we all fall short, I guess it's whatever we're doing. And maybe later we understand. But so, Lord, forgive us for our iniquities of this week. Anything, Lord, forgive us. Show us, Lord, where we are. And help bring us right back to You, Lord. Cleanse us, Lord, so we can receive this sacrament this morning in this church. Heal us, Lord. Cleanse our spirits. Thank You, Deacon. Thank You, Lord. Forgive us our trespasses, Lord. Heal our land, Father. We shall humble ourselves in front of You, Lord. You do great and mighty things in our life, Lord. For our children, we have so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. We have food on our table and a place to call home. We have so much to be thankful for. We have a car to drive. We have places and people who love us. So much to be thankful for. Hallelujah. Enjoy the days that God has blessed us with. So much to be thankful for. There'll always be trials and tribulations. You'll always have bills. There'll always be those things. There'll always be there. But thank God in heaven that He helps us through them, over them, and around them. In every way, He sees His way through us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So much to be thankful for. Sometimes we look at the problems more than at God, and I understand because we're in the flesh. But God has never forsaken us. To this day, He has been with us. He's not going to stop now. Though we might be older group, God has more for us to do, even in our own lives. More joy to share, more love, and just more things to tell people about. The good news of God. We have that. It's a gift from God, our Father in heaven. So much to be thankful for this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Forgive us for our iniquities, Lord, for this day as we receive the sacrament of your blood. Pour the wine into a cup, saying, "This is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins." We shall drink in Jesus' name. Be healed, church. I want to ask you this. If Jesus was to walk through that door right now, what would you want him to see? And what would you not want him to see? This is his temple, his house. We are the body, but we call this his house. Let him come into this house and see people who love this house, who take care of this house. This is our time to take care of Jesus' house right here. We are the body. We are the only ones in the whole world responsible for taking care of this temple. If he came in today, what wouldn't you want him to see? And what can we do as a body to make it even more beautiful? Pray about that. Thank you, Lord. Give him praise, church.